Well, thank you, everyone, for tuning into our program today. You may know that Family Talk is a listener-supported program, and we remain on the air by your generosity, literally. If you can help us financially, we would certainly appreciate it. God's blessings to you all.
Today on Family Talk.
Welcome to today's edition of Dr. James Dobson's Family Talk. I'm Roger Marsh, and today we have the story of a woman who runs to the scene of natural and man-made disasters to spread the love of Christ to the hurting. She has a powerful and encouraging story. And here now is Dr. Meg Meeker, our guest host for today's broadcast, to introduce her on Family Talk.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to Dr. James Dobson's Family Talk. I'm Dr. Meg Meeker. I'm here on the floor of the International Christian Retail Show in Cincinnati, Ohio. We've been here for 3 days, and we've had a ball meeting so many wonderful people who have come from all over the United States, and God has given them extraordinary stories and experiences. And we have another wonderful new friend today. Her name is Ginger Sanders. Ginger has served as the chaplain coordinator for the Billy Graham Evangelistic Association's Rapid Response Team. She's the author of 3 books, including He Goes Before Us, which details her experiences with the BGEA Rapid Response Team, and 2 children's books called Round Eyes and Fireflies. Ginger, welcome to Family Talk.
Thank you, Doctor. It's so good to be here with you today.
I am so excited to talk to you today because you've lived an extraordinary life. Tell us what you did before you worked with Billy Graham's Rapid Response Team.
Well, I was in the bank and finance world and taught actually at the police academy. I taught financial fraud, and my husband was in the police world, law enforcement, for 32 years. And as we look back on our lives now, we can see how God was preparing us in moving us to a different state almost every 4 years, meeting people, teaching Sunday school, going on mission trips. And we found out wherever we were, God had something for us to learn.
He always does,
always,
doesn't he? Yeah. So is it fair to say that you left that for retirement?
We did. God allowed us to retire early. And me being in the world of finance, I always crunch numbers, and we would really watch our budget. Mm-hmm. And so God allowed us both to retire early, and we didn't know what we were going to do. And my husband said we were too old to work and too young to die. So he said, there's got to be something out here we can do. And one day I was looking on the Billy Graham website doing my devotion, and across the screen came a little call out for looking for chaplains with firefighter or law enforcement background. And so I asked my husband, would you be interested in this? And he said, yes. I filled out the application online, and the next day we received a phone call.
Did you have any idea what you were signing up for?
Well, we actually thought it would be 1 or 2 weeks out of the year that we would be able to do something and be out and serve. And it was an honor to be called by the Billy Graham organization. But we had no idea what depth or how involved we could become in what was going on around the world.
What year was that?
It was in 2008.
Okay. And since 2008, we've had a lot of tragedies.
Yes.
What was one of the first places you went as a minister of the Billy Graham Response Team?
We went to Iowa. Iowa had had a tornado that had killed 9 people, and then they had a flood. And what they had salvaged from the tornado had been washed away by the flood. Mm-hmm. And those people were hurting. But, you know, the name of the book is He Goes Before Us. It comes from Deuteronomy 31:8. And we have found that wherever we go, even in the middle of any disaster, whether it's man-made or natural, that God is always there. And we go in for a physical reason, but we found out there's other reasons, emotional, mm-hmm. mental, family situations, family troubles, and we get there, and there were already problems going on in lives.
So when you walk into a tragedy like that, or a natural disaster, what are the first things that you do? You said you go in to meet a physical need. Do you bring food and water or clothes, or what do you do first?
The Billy Graham Rapid Response chaplains actually go in most of the time if it's a natural disaster, Samaritan's Purse, Disaster Relief, which is part of the Billy Graham Ministries. Samaritan's Purse Disaster Relief is already there, and they are going in to do cleanup, mud outs, clean up debris or anything that might have been caused by the disaster. But we as chaplains go in and we do emotional and spiritual care. Mm-hmm. And Samaritan's Purse volunteers do the same thing.
Yeah.
It's just we are able to go in and function and get one-on-one with the homeowners or maybe even the first responders that have been out doing search and rescue.
Right.
We are able to go in. And that was one of the reasons they looked with somebody with emergency room, or not emergency room, but emergency response background, mm-hmm. that you know when to go in or when to get out of the way.
So when you go in, how long were you in Iowa?
We were in Iowa 3 weeks.
Okay.
Yeah, we usually go in for 1 or 2 weeks. The regular chaplains that are volunteer, they go in from week Sunday and are there for a week till the following Sunday. As chaplain coordinators, we may be there a little bit longer. By the time we get there and we get boots on the ground, we are figuring out where the disaster is, exactly what is needed, and assessing the situation. So we could be there a little bit longer.
Okay. Do you work with the Red Cross?
We have worked with the Red Cross. We have gone into some of the Red Cross shelters by their permission, of course. Mm-hmm. We don't go knock on any doors and barge in, but we do go in and alongside. And Red Cross actually showed up at Sandy Hook at the elementary school situation. And they were a great benefit, helping with food and feeding the families and the people coming in.
Mm-hmm. So you were in Iowa, and where did you go? Where was the next disaster after Iowa?
After Iowa, I think we went down to Louisiana. They had had a small hurricane, and the power had been out, and they had been giving out bottles of water. And people were waiting for emergency food stamps, and they had actually called in to the Billy Graham Evangelistic Association requesting chaplains come.
Oh, they did.
Just to give a presence of peace.
Mm-hmm.
And
mm-hmm.
we were out because of the heat and the lines. We were there, and that was when Hurricane Gustav was supposed to have come in, and then Galveston got hit.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So we went right over to Galveston area after that.
So but you keep going.
We do.
Yeah.
We do.
You were at Sandy Hook.
Yes.
And that is a tragedy that will, the scars will be in Americans' lives for years and years and years to come. How quickly did you get to Sandy Hook after the shooting?
Well, I have to say this. God is not surprised by anything. Because he had chaplains in place. My husband and I were actually at Toms River, New Jersey, and we had chaplains on Long Island because of Hurricane Sandy.
Mm.
And we got a phone call that afternoon, and it said, we need you to respond immediately to Newtown, Connecticut, which was 2 hours away. And we loaded up the Billy Graham van with what supplies we could take with us, not knowing what we were needing. And when we go out on a man-made disaster, such as a shooting or a disruption of any kind in a community that they have requested to send in the chaplains, we do not travel. Samaritan's Purse does not go along because theirs is cleanup and mostly disaster relief. So we were carrying everything we needed in the Billy Graham van.
And how many of you were there? In the van.
Going from
yes.
Toms River, New Jersey, it was just me and my husband.
Mm.
And then we had another couple coming from Long Island, coming in from another direction. And then there were some trying to get on a plane headed in. And so we like to be in as soon and quickly as we can to be with the people mm-hmm. and to be with the first responders and the church leaders. When we started to leave the state of New Jersey, my husband looked at me and he said, do you have any cash? And I said, no. And we don't normally carry cash out in the field. Anybody can go into the state of New Jersey, but you have to pay those toll roads to get out.
Right. Yeah, yeah.
And so we're traveling along in the van, and it's either cash only or Easy Pass, which we had neither.
Right.
And we had already called our home church, and the Billy Graham team knew where we were headed in prayers. We knew we're going up from around the world. As we came up on the first toll booth, the sign, as we pulled in, the electronic sign said, out of order, please proceed. And so
he does go before
does.
Us.
He does. We could just see the angels around this van that said Billy Graham Rapid Response Ministry.
Mm-hmm.
we pull on out. We go about 20 miles, and my husband's going, that was unusual. Mm-hmm. We go on down the road, and we get about 25 miles down the road to the next toll booth, and there's a man sitting in this toll booth. And my husband said, oh, there's somebody in here. I'll tell him where we're going and what we're doing. Mm-hmm. And he started to roll down the window, and as he pulled up beside the gentleman never looked up. He said, I'm counting the till. You all go on through. So we go on through, and by this time, we're realizing this is not an accident.
Yeah.
This is God.
Yeah.
We get to the third and last toll booth going out of New Jersey, and there's three men working on the gate. And we pull up. The men said, the gate won't go down. It's stuck up. You all just go on through. We go through, and as we're driving through and we get past it, my husband said, look back and see if that angel's let that gate down.
Yeah, that's right.
But we knew then, we had a total peace, mm-hmm. that we knew God was already at Newtown, Connecticut.
Mm-hmm.
Yes. And we get there, and we're there that evening. The shooting had taken place that morning.
Did you go to the school?
We did not go to the school. They had all of that taped off for security reason. There was still a lot going on. That was still a crime scene. But we found out that the local churches, people were meeting there in just in the parking lots, and so we showed up at the local churches and had communication with other teams coming in, and so we strategically placed ourselves where we could contact the leaders of those local churches to let them know that people were coming in to support them, mm-hmm. however we could, and in prayer,
mm-hmm.
and that's what we go in for, is to be with them. When the rapid response team was first created, Franklin Graham had gone to 9/11 Ground Zero.
Mm.
And he came back, and he was just devastated seeing the need of the church leadership had been broken and hurt, and how that they were having a hard time supporting their own congregations,
right.
in their community, because they were hurting as well. And Franklin came in and talked to the board and prayed and decided that they needed to build up a team to be trained and ready to go in and support local communities that were hurting.
Mm-hmm.
And that's how the Rapid Response Chaplains came about.
Okay, wow. So when you go into a place like Sandy Hook, you meet with people in churches? How do you find people to minister to? Do you go to people's homes? What do you do?
We go wherever we're needed. And most of the time, after being there a day or two, we were taken to the fire station where people were congregating, and it was not the media. The media was held back.
Who was congregating at the fire?
It was the first responders, the people who had been in there, families of those. You have to understand that Sandy Hook Elementary School was in a small community, and everybody knew each other or was related to each other.
Mm-hmm.
So the whole town was being affected.
Mm-hmm.
And so we were able to go in and be there with the people that were meeting in the fire stations. We were able to go to the first responders, maybe even the state troopers that are out having roadblocks.
Mm-hmm.
One state trooper, I walked up, and the state of Connecticut did a wonderful job bringing in people from all around the state to help cover and to be with those families. I walked up to one state trooper who had on sunglasses, and I said, how are you holding up? And a tear started to trickle out from underneath the sunglasses, and he said, my son was supposed to have been at that school today.
Mm.
And I said, may I pray with you? And he said, I would love that, but I'm on duty. And I said, keep your eyes open. You have on sunglasses. You're fine.
Yeah.
And I'll just stand here beside you and pray, if that's okay. And he said, yes. And I stood there. And as he was directing traffic, just asked that God give him the strength and the courage he needed to do, and to be with his family, and to give him what he needed to do to get through that job that day.
Wow. Tell me about some of the other people that you met. Did you pray with any of the parents who had lost children?
We did. We went to several of the visitations at the churches or at the funeral homes, went to some of the funerals. There was a lady at a memorial came up to me, and she just sobbed when she saw that we were Billy Graham chaplains. And she said, I had to come. I live 3 hours away, and I've seen this on TV, and I just could not believe such a tragedy could happen in America. And she started crying, and she said, we have no hope. We have no hope. And I said, ma'am, excuse me, but we do have hope. We have hope in Jesus. And she stood back and she said, but what if that happened here right now while we're standing here at the memorial site? And I said, what would it happen if it happened here? And she said, I have no hope. And so I was able to share with her. And God had brought her 3 hours to that memorial site. And she said, now I know that it was the urging of the Holy Spirit that brought me to this place. She said, I watched this on TV. I watched television pastors on TV. I listened to the radio and hear it, but I've never had a personal relationship with Jesus.
Wow.
And she said, now I know why I was drawn to this place. Mm. It was to meet Jesus.
To meet Jesus.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, that's pretty extraordinary.
It was.
And did you encounter any mothers or fathers of the children there who didn't want to see you because they were mad at God, or what were they like? What were they saying in that moment? Because you went to some of the services.
We did, and we were welcomed at everyone, and no one shook their fist in the face of God.
Isn't that something? You know, in this politically correct society, when you can't talk about God and you can't talk about Jesus, something like that happens, and all that it goes out the window.
It does.
It's like, you're from Billy Graham. Please, please, please help me.
It does. And I want to share this with you. We were at one of the visitation services one night, and before we had gotten there, they had told us, and we have badges that say chaplain that help us get beyond the line, especially when they've already called for us to come in. And they said, because of the trauma, the children that had been seen in the school and all the police there, they asked us to put our badges away. Just put them in your pocket, not to traumatize the children anymore.
Right.
So that they wouldn't think something else was happening.
Exactly, yeah.
So we put our badges in our pockets, and it was in December, so it was cold. We had on our coats, but it still said Billy Graham Rapid Response Team Chaplains. And we go into this one church, and the family is standing there, and it's mom and dad and the older brother. And I would say the brother was about maybe 9 or 10 years old. And as we walked up there, the little boy had on his suit, his little necktie, and he looked so handsome. And we shook mom and dad's hands and gave them our condolences and said we were praying for them. And I got to that little boy and I shook his hand and I said, well, you look like you're the preacher here today. He stood really tall, and then I noticed on his collar, one of the police officers had pinned a little badge on his collar. And I said, oh, maybe you're a policeman. And his dad leaned over and he said, he's a secret agent. And the little boy just beamed that his dad had said that. And I pulled out my badge just a little bit out of my pocket and I said, me too. That little boy just wrapped his arms around me and just cried. The very thing that man told us to put away, which I can see and understand why, but God used to make a connection. And the dad leaned over and he said, that's the first time he's cried since the shooting. And my husband had shown him his badge. He said, I'm one too. And he became my husband's shadow. They were like buddies for a few days then. I mean, God's presence was all over that place.
And that was a little boy who'd been in a classroom.
Yes. He had been in a classroom. His little sister had been killed. But there were things that happened in that place that only God could have orchestrated. And that just tells me we serve the same God today that Abraham and Moses and Isaac served, that he is still alive and well and working in people's lives.
How else did you see God at work at Sandy Hook?
We had been out at the memorial site, and it was raining and sleeting and cold, and we had not had any dinner or anything to eat that evening. And so about 9:30, we decided to go get something. And my husband, being in law enforcement, he almost could smell donuts. And so we go into a donut shop, and there sat a group of young people. And that group of young people were sitting there, and we asked them, did they know anybody that had been killed? And they go, yes, my best friend's little brother or sister, and different ones. But they said our buddy that used to sit right here in this chair had been killed 3 weeks ago in a freak accident.
Mm.
So we go on back and we're having our coffee and a little sandwich. And when we were finished up, we heard music playing in this donut shop, a public business. And it was Amazing Grace. And there was total silence came across that place. We go up front and it was a TV on and it was showing the pictures of the ones that had been killed. We go up to the table and we're standing there with this group of young people. And I say young, they were 19 to 27 years old. Mm-hmm. And they said, we just don't know about this. We don't know about death. We don't know about dying. And we told them, you know, Jesus came for everyone. And you don't have to be in a church to accept Jesus. Jesus wasn't born in a church. He was born in a stable, in a barn. He died on a cross, mm-hmm. on a hillside. Not in a church. He will meet you where you are. And if you want to hear more about it, in honoring and respecting this business, we're going out on the sidewalk. And if you want to talk more, we'll be outside. And we go outside, and I really didn't think anybody would come out there, but my husband looked beyond over my shoulder, and he said, two boys are getting up. There's another boy. There's a girl.
Wow.
We had
from the donut shop.
From the donut shop. And they were not kids. These were adults, young adults, and seven of them came outside. This story's in He Goes Before Us. They came outside and asked questions, and we answered their questions as honestly as we could. And then we said, let's just pray. And we bowed our heads and we prayed, and we prayed basically a sinner's prayer. And we said, if you've prayed that prayer for the first time and would like to receive Jesus as your Lord and Savior, just raise your hand. One by one, hands went up. So God was in that place, even in the midst of disaster.
He went into a donut shop ahead of you.
He did.
He went into the television production studio and had Amazing Grace played while you were in the donut shop. And he put those boys in the donut shop before you came in. And my guest is Ginger Sanders. Her book is He Goes Before Us. She is a chaplain with the Billy Graham Rapid Response Team. And this book is filled with story after story, just like you've heard, of a beautiful woman, a servant of the Lord, who walks into dark, dark, dark places and deep pain and brings the light of Jesus and the love of Jesus. And just before we finish, Ginger, there may be people listening to us today who go, how can you say that God is in a place like Sandy Hook? Because how can you reconcile that God would allow such a horrible tragedy and have gone before that? What would you say to that person?
I have had people ask me when we got back, how does God allow bad things happen to good people, especially innocent children? And we live in a world of evil. Satan is at work here. There's evil, there's disease, there's death, there's murders. Everything covers this earth. And we're going to live in this till Jesus comes back.
And we're going to see it.
And we're going to see it.
Experience it.
And the only way you can get through it, and everybody has trials. You know, I'm not perfect. You're not perfect. Dr. Dobson's not perfect. Everybody has trials and troubles and are tested. But with Jesus by our side, it makes it a lot easier to get through. Mm-hmm. But there's going to be troubles and disasters. And we're seeing them more and more. And I don't know if it's because of the media that we are seeing
aware
it,
of it
and hearing it. But I do know that through this media and this radio broadcast that people can know that Jesus is alive and well too.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Yes, indeed. Amen. Ginger, the book is incredible. Her book is He Goes Before Us. She's a chaplain with a Billy Graham Rapid Response Team. How can people get a copy of your book and get hold of you? Do you have a website?
I do. www.gingersanders.com. I'm on Facebook at Ginger Sanders. I'm on Twitter at Ginger Sanders. The book is available on Amazon or any bookstore. If they don't have it on the shelves, they can order it for them.
Fabulous read. Jesus is all over it. Thank you so much for being my guest today and God's blessings. And I have the sense that He has a lot more in store for you.
Thank you. It's about Him, not me.
Yes, indeed.
What an encouraging story today on Dr. James Dobson's Family Talk. And what a story of hope to start this new year. No matter what 2017 holds, you can have peace because, as Ginger says in her book, He Goes Before Us. I'm Roger Marsh, and if you want to connect with Ginger or learn more about her books, you can find her at gingersanders.com. We also have a link on our broadcast page as well at drjamesdobson.org. If you've been encouraged or blessed by today's broadcast, would you consider supporting the work of Family Talk financially? When you give, you allow us to create relevant programs that help to strengthen families to stand for Christ in the culture today. You can make a donation online through our secure website at drjamesdobson.org or call us at 877-732-6825. And thank you for standing with us in prayer and also financially. And be sure to join us again next time for a great message on reaching lost teenagers. That's right here on the next edition of Dr. James Dobson's Family Talk.
Family Talk is not associated with Focus on the Family.